Wayne State University football. It's all about the W. It's time for Winters on Wednesday, the insider's look at Wayne State football. Your host is none other than Warrior head football coach Paul Winters, along with Patriots studio host Rod Beard, as they catch you up on everything Wayne State football. Now, here's Rod Beard with Coach Winters.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition, scintillating edition of the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 AM The Patriot. I'm Rod Beard, and I'm joined by Wayne State football coach Paul Winters. For the Winners on Wednesday show, we do this every Wednesday at Tony V's on Cass Ave, just south of I-94. If you're ever in the area, just come on down and join us. And even if it's not Wednesday, just come on down and support Tony V's and everything that they're doing in the Midtown community in Wayne State. It's one of the favorites. We have a group of dozens who are joining us already for the show. Got another good show planned for you, breaking down last week's game. We got a coach interview this week. We got Scott Wooster out here at Tony V's with us, and then we've also got our women's spotlight, where we're going to focus on women's cross country this week with Ashley Dufresne, along with Ashley DeCida. Keep saying that wrong. DeCida, who will be our focus this week. And then looking ahead to next week's game against Tiffin, and just the season is just moving along already, Paul, that we're already talking about the fifth game of the year, and it feels like it just started last week.
Yeah, I wish we could start over.
And certainly starting out 1-3, not ideal, but there are some things that are positive that we've seen in these first 4 weeks. Namely the running game, and we'll talk to Scott about that a little bit too, but in this game last week, it was a 35-29 loss to Tiffin, I'm sorry, to Saginaw Valley, at Saginaw Valley. There were a lot of positive things that you could take from that, but it just did not result in a win this week, especially in overtime. That's just a heart-wrenching way to lose.
Well, you put yourself in a position to win the game. I think some guys stepped up and made some exceptional plays in the last couple minutes. And we had an opportunity 3 seconds ago to finish the game. That's what you have to do. And we didn't do that. So it's tough, you know, but the positive is our guys, I think, in the last 2 weeks have controlled the game, controlled the line of scrimmage, which is obviously big in football. We turned the ball over a lot against Ashland. That hurt us. And we turned the ball over in the second half a little bit against Saginaw that allowed them to come back. Had a couple drives that were not finished as touchdowns. They were field goals. But we're up 22-7. We still should win the game. And, you know, going in the fourth quarter, 22-7, you should win the game. But if we make touchdowns instead of field goals, it's 30-7. And maybe they don't play as hard at that point. And our guys feel a little bit better about themselves. But you know, the bottom line is if you finish the game with that field goal and you run off the field screaming, you feel really good about yourself, and we didn't get that.
And I think a lot of times people just look at this and say it's a bottom line game. It doesn't matter if you're 1-3. 1-3 is 1-3. Your record says what you are, but I think in this case it is what you said, that you look at the way that you played those games. You look at the score. You look at the final result. You get one message. You look at the game and break down everything that happened. You can see there are a lot of positives moving forward for the rest of the season. Certainly your season's not done at this point, but there's a lot of things that the guys have learned, a lot of things that the coaching staff has learned about what you have on this roster and how you can move forward with those positive things.
Exactly. I think one of the things that you get excited about for this football team is we have 445 yards in that game.
Yeah.
And over 200 yards passing. We probably had less than 200 yards passing in the first two and a half games.
Yeah.
So Jake Amrine, I think, really, really is developing at a fast pace. He made some throws, you know, again, that you marvel at. You say, okay, that's pretty darn good. And I think Darius Roberson added another touchdown, so he's got four in four games. So There's a lot of positives, and we're going to build on those positives. James Hill had another big game. Build on that and put it all together. you know, in one good game.
And we mentioned it last week, too, and I think that was my biggest takeaway from the previous game was that if you found your quarterback and a guy that you can really depend on in Jake Amrine, it's not, he's not a senior and you're finding him his senior year. The more that he starts to put these little flashes of things together and you see it in one half, you see it in the next game, and you see the throws that he can make, as he gets more experience, as he gets more reps, you can see where these things are going to – when it comes together, it's going to be really, really nice for the program that you've got a younger guy that all of these pieces fit together.
Well, it's funny that you watch it, his progression here in his sophomore season, and you go back a few years to Mickey Mockner, who didn't really get to play until his sophomore season.
Yeah.
And as he started to play a little bit, you know, you saw great things, and he got better and better and better and led us to a championship and a national championship game. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no question that we kind of feel like we have the same progression with this young man. And I'm not saying that to put pressure on him or to build up anybody's hopes, but we feel like we have a heck of a football team, and if that all comes together – we can be formidable.
And it's just the building blocks. We said the one thing that's sort of that we need to build on and we need to get better with is on the defensive side of the ball. And if you shuffle back and you look at the offensive side, if we're talking about the quarterback, that's the most important position in this game for in a lot of ways. But if you start to get that solidified, you've got a running game that works. The offensive line, I think you've run for 200 yards in every game, if I'm not mistaken, or three of the four at least. But if you have a solid running game, you get the quarterback who's putting the pieces together, the offensive line is good for you. When the defense starts putting it together the same sort of way, then you're cooking with grease there.
There's no question. I think you look at the way the defense played this past week against a really good Saginaw offense, and I thought at times we were dominant. I thought at times we completely shut down their run and controlled their passing game. And they have an exceptional quarterback, exceptional wide receiver. And obviously they burned us in the end. But if we don't turn the ball over, put them in a position to come back in that game, our defense played well. So, again, we held them under 300 yards. And in today's football, you don't hold teams under 300 yards. So, you know, I'm not satisfied with how we played from a defensive standpoint. We have to improve. But part of that improvement is going to be just learning to play with each other. We're hoping in the next couple weeks that we get a Jalen Lewis back, Derek Coleman back.
That's pass rush. That's one of the keys to the defense. If you don't have your main guys.
Big guys for us. So we can get those two guys back. We're a different football team.
And you mentioned their receiver. He's one of the better ones in the conference. He had one catch before that game winner in overtime that he was able to get. So you talk about the defense and you're able to – limit him at least
right
up to that point. And no matter how you slice it up, good players are going to make a big play for you at some point. But if you can go four quarters with one catch and he makes that big catch for them, then your defense has done something. The secondary has done something, and you've gotten enough of something where he's been limited. They're under their averages in terms of their yardage. So you check a lot of boxes of things. Now it's just tightening the screws in other little places to make sure that you get those things fine-tuned the way you want.
Yeah, you know what? The big thing that you add on to the thought process is we did that on the road.
Yeah.
We did that in a place that was unfriendly, uncomfortable, not familiar.
Yeah.
And so we're very excited about what kind of football team we can be. We're not excited about losing football games because we hate that, and we're very disappointed about that. But if we continue to fight and we continue to battle as a team, stay together, we don't have to lose. We're not going to go into a game and have a team dominate us. We're going to be in a position to compete to win every game.
And just as in the previous game, it was – if we do the things we're supposed to do and we handle our business, we do our things right, we don't have to worry about what the other team does, because defensively we've kind of held them down. Offensively, we've gotten what we wanted in the run game. We've done some things well in the passing game. that those things are going to get better.
Right.
But we control our destiny in the things that we do when we do them well, and we don't make mistakes, and we don't. It's the timely error sometimes that hurts you more. And as you said, it's the turnovers in opportunities when you have a chance to kind of put this game away.
Right.
Those are the turnovers that hurt that much more.
Right.
And the errors that hurt that much more.
Right. And you know, young men today and for throughout time, sometimes they're a little bit fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple things go bad and they lose – they don't lose their belief or their heart. They just lose their concentration because they get a little tight. And I think that happened to us a little bit. We have to grow from it and mature from it. And I give our leadership, our team leadership credit. Our kids have practiced hard and with a lot of enthusiasm, and it's been fun to be around them.
Yeah, and you can't dampen the spirit just in week four, after week four, when you look at the record and say 1-3, because, again, if you're playing the right way and doing the right things, these next two games at home, you can very easily turn these around. And you're playing teams that have good records, but you've played teams this season that have had good records, and you've controlled the games. There's nothing to say that you can't come out after this in a couple of weeks and be at .500 because you've started to put more puzzle pieces together and made fewer mistakes at those critical times, and this looks like a completely different season at that
exactly, point. Exactly, exactly. I think a lot of it goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. As you see our quarterback develop, we're going to be pretty special.
Yeah.
And every single day he gets better, and every single day we look like a better football team. And, we finished the day's practice with a two-minute period that – was pretty awesome. And, let's go back to the Saginaw game. So we're down 29-22, and it's 6 minutes to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He takes us on a six-minute drive, basically, and it was a five-minute drive. We go down and score a touchdown. That's a young quarterback doing that. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Nobody quit. Nobody gave up. This sophomore quarterback led us down to a game-tying touchdown. And then a freshman, redshirt freshman linebacker, Brandon Tuck Hayden, makes a huge hit on the kickoff to get the fumble to give us in a position to win the game.
Yeah, and it's just plays. And, again, those are just puzzle pieces. Those all go into a bigger mosaic. But when you start to put those things together and we start to see games that are going to surprise you, results that are going to surprise you, and this isn't one that – that stomachs well for you, but I think there's a brighter future down the road. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll get Scott Wooster in our next segment. We're going to take this quick break. We'll come back and we'll have Scott on the Winners on Wednesday show at Tony V's.
Hey, Wayne State, are you looking for childcare right here on campus? Rainbow Child Care Center is now open in Midtown. Come visit Rainbow's new Midtown location and see why so many families call Rainbow their home away from home. Located at the corner of Brush and Mac, Rainbow Child Care Center is the perfect place for your little one to grow and develop. Whether you're in the classroom or at work, enjoy the peace of mind that comes with your child being right next door. Visit rainbowccc.com/Detroit or call 800-90-LEARN. That's 800-905-3276. rainbowccc.com/Detroit and learn more.
Warrior fans, join us Saturday, October 6th, as your Wayne State Warriors take on the Davenport Panthers. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. at Tom Adams Field. Make sure you get there early to get your gate giveaway.
Wayne State University Athletics. Go Warriors!
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
At Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network, we work hard to show our members how much we value them. It's nice to know they feel the same way. We're proud to receive the 2018 J.D. Power Award for having the highest member satisfaction among commercial health plans in Michigan. Every day, our focus is all about serving our members. To learn more, visit bcbsm.com. For J.D. Power 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Hey, fellas, let's go now. Let's have a great day. Let's have some fun, fellas. Have some fun with it. Warrior Pride on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Warrior Pride.
Great job.
Ah.
Warrior Deck, Deep Running.
Ready.
I said Warrior Deck, Deep Running.
Ready.
Ready, begin.
Welcome back to the Winners on Wednesday show from Tony V's in Midtown Detroit. Rod Beard with Wayne State football coach Paul Winters. We're pleased to welcome in the running game coordinator, offensive line coach, man of many titles, Scott Wooster. He's been with the program for 10 years, 4 as a tight ends coach, and this is his 6th as the offensive line coach. Scott, thanks for taking some time out of your Wednesday and coming in to join us on the Winners on Wednesday show.
Thanks for having us. Rod, thanks.
It is.
Do you hear the lady screaming in the background when you mention his name?
Never for us. No. Never, never. It has not happened ever for us. So, yes, this is a first time.
I think it was just a coincidence. There might have been something on TV.
No such thing as coincidence.
Might have been a really good joke.
Yes.
We're going to go with that.
We will go with that. Paul and I were just talking about the running game and maybe some silver linings in a season that – record-wise, isn't going the way we want it to go just yet. But silver linings, and I feel like the running game and the way that the offensive line has come together is one of those things that we have to feel really positive about.
I don't think there's any question, Rod. And the thing that's really exciting is I don't think we're close to our potential up front yet. I mean, I think that this group collectively, you know, we're playing 7 guys, probably play 6, 7 guys as we go down the stretch here is – they can get after people. This might be my personally, the group I've coached at the best protecting the quarterback and pass protection, but just maybe the most complete physical, just get after people. And that's showing up. But I don't think we're really even close to being what we can be. And that's part that's really exciting.
And that's scary to say because we said they – is it all 4 games over 200 yards rushing?
No. We I think we're 118 against Ashland.
Okay.
Left a lot of yards out there, and just some things that we got to clean up. But physically, Pounda got after them. But, yeah.
I mean, there have been times, especially when we go into Mustang, and it just feels like the ball is going to move. It doesn't matter. Where the linemen get excited because in Mustang, you know, hey, we're going straight forward. And that's – the run.
No, don't say that because Meech, he'll tell you, he was a quarterback back in the PAL now. And he can sling it. So any of our opponents that are listening, just be careful. Don't load it up too much because that thing might pop out of there.
But see, we'll go with that. We weren't going to say anything about that before. But I look for him to kind of pull the ball back. He's going straight forward. But I think it is – this is the bread and butter of this program and has been for quite a bit that you've been able to run the ball very, very well. And this group assembled, certainly Tommy Richardson helps to anchor that group. But last year where there were so many injuries and you had such a young group of guys there, and I think I read the stat, it was 3 starts combined with all of those guys at the beginning of the year, the unit you started with, that, yes, you're going to take a little bit of your lumps in the beginning of that, but when it comes to fruition and you've got the experience that you do now with those guys – You see the other side of it.
Absolutely. And like I said before, I think there's still quite a bit of potential. But the other part is it's just that identity. Obviously, you know, Coach Winters built this program on being physical. We won't go out and get physical guys, aggressive guys, and then they buy into that culture and keep developing in it. And year 2, year 3 now, Elaine Potter's the perfect example. Lane Potter a year ago was a true freshman starting at tackle, never played out there in that space. And it showed at times, but, you know, it never shook his confidence. He's a confident guy, a physical guy. And he really had a coming out moment against Saginaw Valley and just played as the biggest, strongest guy in the field, which he is, and he's only a sophomore. So, yeah, when you're talking about that, part of it is target that profile in recruiting. You know, we want tough, physical, smart guys. Develop that through Coach Mendoza and through what we our process. But then when they buy into that identity, when that is our culture, yeah, we can win a lot of football games, and that's really close to happening.
How do you identify that in a recruit, in a high school kid who may not be fully physically developed?
Israel Helms. So we've had 28 scouts through. We had the Lions, I think, who else? The Texans and Colts today.
Yep.
And they're like, tell me about this guy. You know, we just watched the film. We just watched the tape. What is going on? How'd you get him?
Yeah.
Right? And so he didn't play a ton of ball. He was from Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Didn't play a ton of ball his senior year. I think he still rotated. His highlight tape was a minute and a half long, and it was awful. It was terrible. But there was two flashes on there.
Yeah.
And then we go and meet him and measure him up. And, yeah, he's intelligent. He's smart. He's a worker. He's going to commit to the process.
Yeah.
And that's all he's done. And everything along the way he's developed. And now he's a pro prospect, an All-American, you know, candidate. Yeah. And just dominant at times. I mean, just locking dudes down. And when he really truly – and that's the potential part, is when he really truly figures it out. And if that's this week, if that's next week, if he continues to grow and develop, oh, my gosh. Because now you got him playing next to a Tommy Richardson.
Yeah.
And that's pretty dominant. But don't stack up left, because you got Tock and Potter and McJunkins playing really well. And Reed Thompson's really taken over and gotten that center position going. Charlie Younger's playing at extremely high levels. So, yeah, it's exciting.
How do you find that glimmer in a guy? Because a lot of people, in the way that recruiting goes now, it's where are you in the rankings? How many stars do you have? And
when
you're not necessarily in that same pool with guys.
You don't listen to people that don't know ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're ball coaches. I've done this for a long time. I've been in football a long time. We've done this for a really long time. And we know football. We know what we want. And and especially people, they watch the quarterback. They watch the running back. Nobody knows line play, right? So two-star, three-star, whatever, you're talking to a guy that's never gotten a three-point stance and never stuck his hands in somebody's chest and knocked him square off the football. All right, so you got to know that first yourself to identify it in somebody else.
Now, and I think that's the interesting part, because people look at, well, especially in college football now, we're into this, a kid's a five-star guy, a kid's a four-star guy, and then when he gets to college and doesn't necessarily develop, then it's always on the kid. It's never on the coaches when there's this kid who's been so hyped up and so pumped up to be the next great thing. And then when he doesn't achieve that, well, the kid just wasn't motivated. He didn't have a very good motor. Well, no, it's on the coaches a little bit to bring that out of guys too.
And I think you talk about Israel Helms. Israel Helms, had he been given stars and not taken the coaching like he has, he wouldn't be any good.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys don't understand. Forget about your stars. Is the process that we talked about, and learning and developing and becoming a better player, because nobody comes in a finished product. I mean, it's a lot on coaching, but it's a lot on the kid taking the coaching.
Well, and I think a lot of college football coaches want the finished product.
And that's my point.
You know, there's a big piece of me. That's no fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I want to work with this kid, get our hands on him. Let's go. Let's see him work with Coach Mendoza. Let's get him in there and watch film. Let's get him in there and early mornings and grind it out. And that's the fun to me in coaching, is that development process. Game days, yeah, that's fun. Watching, and I tell my guys all the time, 41 years old, I can't do it anymore. My rage has to stay locked inside, but I can live vicariously watching my guys knock your guys back. And there's nothing better than that. But that part's fun. The enjoyment, the pure joy, the love of coaching is watching an Israel Helms come in all arms and legs and all over the place, and now boom, boom, snap, all right, and you ain't going nowhere, and finishing dudes over the pile and that kind of thing. So, Yeah, I think people got a little backwards, you know.
Yeah, but that's how college football has become. Yeah. It's this intermediate progression to going to the pros, and it's not this. You're developing guys to just be better players. That's the challenge in coaching.
And better men. You know, and that's the pure beauty of coaching the O-line is there's no other position in all of sport that our sole purpose is to protect another dude.
Yeah.
You know, so we talk about it all the time, for the rest of it's man training. So for the rest of our lives, the rest of your lives, you're going to have to protect a wife, protect a kid, take care of them. That's all we do. You know, we make up some stats. We don't have any stats. We make them up. All right. The only stats we have, the only time anyone knows what's going on with us, is if we give up a sack, something negative. So I think that is the inherent part, too, that we're looking for is protectors, true young men that want to be real men. And it's not about patting my chest and doing all that. It's like, I got to take care of these dudes behind me.
You know, I love that. Making up stats. You got to figure out something that you can quantify.
Oh, yeah. Because there's no question. And knockdowns, and we got thumps, and we got all this stuff on our grade sheet. We just make stuff up just to feel good about what we're doing. But, you know, the bottom line is take care of those dudes behind us, you know, and take care of this football team, pave the way. So, and we got it. That's what's so great about this group is we've got a group of dudes that we talk about the fist, five guys stronger together, five individuals stronger together that – They've bought into that. They feed off of that, and they just it's fun, and 1-3 ain't fun, but it's fun coaching these guys and knowing that they know what's coming, and they know, and it's not just our group. It's this football team. They know, and you use the word yet, the power of yet, that what's coming is pretty exciting. Not pretty exciting. It's extremely exciting.
No, and I think that's important for fans to keep a focus on is that it's not about. This week in football, you tend to judge on a week-to-week-to-week basis, but there's another game you can't sit and sulk about. As coaches and as a staff, you can't sit and sulk about one thing, and as a player, you can't sulk. Fans have that luxury of, well, okay, this was Saturday, and we have to find something to do until next Saturday. So, but for people who are listening, I hope that's a takeaway that you get from this is that it's not just about that stuff, but this is about the development of the young men to be protectors, to be bigger than just a number and a jersey, but to be something that is much bigger as a man and as everything else.
Absolutely.
That comes after that.
No question. And to win football games, which we're going to do.
Somewhere in that priority list is winning football games.
Absolutely.
But, Scott, certainly appreciate the education and the breakdown on everything today. Scott Wooster, offensive line coach, Wayne State University. Thanks for joining us on the Winners on Wednesday show. There's clapping now in addition to the yelling. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll have our Warrior Women Spotlight with Ashley DeCita and Ashley DeFrain.
How much more endurance on the court would Tom have if his sleep problems were addressed by a specialist? How much faster could Darnell get back to scoring touchdowns if he had a sports medicine expert treating his concussion? How much more would Priya enjoy running if she found out her shortness of breath was due to an easily treated respiratory condition? Whatever kind of athlete you are, at Henry Ford, we treat all of you. From injury prevention to leading-edge treatment, no one sees the whole athlete like we do. Henry Ford Sports Medicine is the only team in Michigan where every member is part of a unified group. Our sports specialists work together to get every muscle, bone, tendon, organ, nerve, and blood vessel of your body working so you can reach all of your goals. Get back in the game ASAP. Make an appointment today at henryford.com/sports. Henry Ford Health System, all for you.
For more than a decade, the Detroit Sports Commission has attracted regional, national, and international sporting events to Metro Detroit. What does this mean for our region? Hundreds and thousands of visitors and millions of dollars being pumped into our local economy over the past 10 years. From the Final Four to the Super Bowl, Detroit is where champions are made and championships are played. Find out how you can get involved at DetroitSports.org and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Michigan First Credit Union is the exclusive financial institution of Wayne State Athletics. With two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus, our goal is to make your life easier and to exceed your expectations. Why choose anyone else for your banking needs? Let us show you why we're the best choice. Visit MichiganFirst.com for details. Michigan First Credit Union is proud to support Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Delta Dental of Michigan and Wayne State University are building brighter futures, healthier communities where families have access to care, smarter communities where dreams transform into reality, more vibrant communities where pride in where you live runs deep, because a good community feels like home, with friendly faces, sights, and sounds that foster a happiness you can't help but share. After all, a bright smile starts with a solid foundation. Learn more at DeltaDentalMI.com.
Fans, it's Ashley DeCita here with this week's Women in Athletics segment. I'm here with freshman Ashley Dufresne from our women's cross country and track and field team. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi.
We're so excited that you're here with us. Before we kind of dive into your season and the very successful start that you're having, let's talk about the fact that you're a freshman. Like, how did you come to the decision to be a Wayne State Warrior, and talk us through your recruiting process last year?
Well, I came to Wayne State last year as my first visit, and I really enjoyed the team culture that I saw here. The teammates seemed very united and supportive, and I also really trusted my now coach's plans and his ideas and his way of training. So I just thought being part of the team here would be the best choice for me.
I love that. I think that's so well said. And a lot of people know, I mean, for any sport, there's certainly a transition that takes place from high school to college, but especially with running, it's no different. You know, there is quite a jump. So it's only, you know, been a little over a month, but obviously you went to preseason camp and all of that fun stuff. So talk us through maybe how the transition for yourself is going so far.
It's been a little difficult. It's a different training than high school, obviously, but coming to college has definitely shown me a different way of running, and I also have like a bigger team here than I did in high school, so it's nicer to train with them, and they're always pushing me through all the tough workouts and stuff like that. So it's been difficult, but it hasn't been too hard.
That's good. I mean, you're obviously kind of at a pivotal point of the season, you know, getting ready for championship time next month. But with that, I do want to talk about, I'm probably going to make you blush a little bit, but you've had quite a successful start. It's pretty impressive, to say the least. You're a freshman, as I've mentioned. You've led the cross-country team every single race. I mean, you have been our first runner. You are a two-time now GLIAC Athlete of the Week, which is also very impressive. So maybe with that, let's just talk about kind of what your expectations were coming in. It's probably hard to know where you were going to fall in the lineup of the Warriors, but maybe how you're feeling with wearing that top runner now on the team, and maybe how that's kind of worked with your expectations and your goals for the year.
It's really cool to be the top runner as a freshman, I would say, because it kind of helps build a little credibility for me, like as a teammate, as a competitor, and it helps me get some leeway so I can hopefully inspire my other teammates to succeed as well and to push themselves. So it's been cool being like one of the top runners.
I love that. I think that you definitely touched on a few great things there. And so being a freshman, you know, that's a unique position to be the top runner consistently and to be working out so well, and kind of have that performance piece coming into play every weekend that you're racing. So with that, how has that played a part in the chemistry of the team? As you've seen, you know, some of the older leaders kind of hopefully take you under their wing to some extent, but you're also, in a way, as I mentioned, in a unique position where you're kind of leading the team. Like, how, talk a little bit about the team chemistry and the dynamics of the team so far.
So far, the team really seems to support me, even though, as you said, I'm a freshman and I'm almost having to lead some of the leaders, but in a way, they are still leading me because mentally it's tough to adjust. And there's still more for me to do. So they're teaching me how to get used to the college running, and hopefully I'm still pushing them along too.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think that's awesome. And you're in a position where you're continuing to learn and grow, which is great because you're at the beginning of your career here. So we know there's a lot of cross-country season left, even though, you know, you're kind of in the thick of it. So you're coming off this weekend. You know, you were racing at Grand Rapids, and then you've got this upcoming weekend off, but then you'll be at Lewis October 6th weekend. But will you share a little bit with our fans maybe some of your personal goals as well as the team goals for this cross-country season?
Personal goal-wise, I really just want to keep growing as an athlete and keep improving. And as for the team, I really want us to work together as hard as we can and try to bring more success than the team has seen maybe in the past few years or so.
Definitely. That's great. Well, I know that just to come to mind, as I mentioned, you're going to be at Lewis October 6th weekend. And then, again, for our Warrior fans, they've got a couple upcoming races, but then mark your calendars because October 20th is our first ever Warrior Challenge, which is very exciting. It's our inaugural race here as a Wayne State Warrior cross country team. So we're excited, and you should definitely plan to come out and support Ashley and the rest of our team. We are very thankful that you are here today, Ashley, and we look forward to cheering you on the rest of the season and the rest of your time as a Wayne State Warrior. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, go Warriors.
Welcome back to the Winners on Wednesday show. That was our Warrior Women's Spotlight with our cross-country standout, Ashley Dufresne and Ashley DeCita, doing the interview there. And that's – it's kind of sobering when you think about that there's a freshman that's your best performer, and very often you've got to push some things to the side when you've got a standout freshman like that and tell your more veteran players, hey, this is a special talent that we've got here. You've got to – help us build this and develop this. And that's a hard message sometimes for to get across for a coach.
Yeah, but you're in a sport, cross country, where you put them out there and they race.
Yeah.
And so if you want to be the leader, you beat her.
that one at least, it's not subjective at all.
Right.
It is, hey, let's go run a few miles. Whoever finishes first is the better in that. But in terms of football, how does that translate for you when you've got – younger players who are supplanting some of your veterans and
like
having that, or any position.
there are
11 players.
That's always a tough transition when you have a younger player that comes out and performs extremely well, and you feel like you're a better team because of that person. But we've been in that situation before. I go back to one of my first years here. I had a 1,000-yard running back in Chris Middlebrooks, mm-hmm. and I had a redshirt freshman by the name of Joyke Bell. And I, you know, everyone knew that Joyke Bell was going to be the best guy, and he needed to get the football. And so I took a 1,000-yard rusher and basically put him on the bench and took a freshman and put him in there, and the freshman rushed for 2,000.
That worked out well.
But, you know, you never – I mean, it's never a comfortable feeling because the other guy worked really hard and earned the right to compete. But, you know, sometimes you have tremendous talent that just overtakes it.
And I don't think you go out and recruit that way and say – maybe you do. You say, if we can get this guy and he comes in as a freshman, he's going to be a substantial upgrade over what we have. Or you at least want to give him an opportunity to earn that job and to be in the mix for that – particular position, and sometimes guys just completely surprise you when they get in here too.
Exactly, and sometimes they're just great. I mean, Darius Roberson played as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a great football player. But one of the things that you know as a football player, I think football does a fantastic job of teaching you life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a football player, they're always trying to replace you.
Yeah.
We're always trying to get better. We're always trying to improve. And that means that we're trying to find somebody who's better than you are. Now, what you have to do is work really hard so there's nobody better than you. But you also are prepared when they bring somebody in, I have to compete. It's not just my job. It's a meritocracy.
All right, and that's the way that it should be, is that there are no sacred cows, I think is the way that goes.
Right.
That you can't feel like this is my job because there's some hungry freshman, there's somebody who's working twice as hard as you are to get in the position that you feel entitled to.
Right.
And it's never really that. But then the other piece of that is injuries always rear the ugly head, and you want to make sure that you've got guys prepared when that unfortunate opportunity presents itself too.
You coach everybody on your team,
mm-hmm.
and you coach them all as if they're going to become a starter at some point, or they are the starter.
Because when they do, you just don't know sometimes
when
that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, they have to be ready.
And that's happened. It's not as much now where you're in a situation where you're pressed to use freshmen as much in starting roles or in big things. But there are rotations where you want to give them a little sniff and you want to let them see what that's like and see what kinds of results you can get, what type of production you can get from some of these guys.
Sometimes through attrition, you have to play freshmen. You never want to be in that position. If you have to play a freshman, you want it to be because the freshman is better than what you have, not
right.
because you don't have a position. You try to develop everybody within the program. Everybody you bring into the program, you're trying to develop them to the point where they can play. So if you can go out and recruit a big-time freshman that's going to come in and help you win, ultimately you look at the Division I National Championship.
Yep.
They always have a freshman that comes in and starts. And sometimes you think, how does that happen? You know, I've got all these great players at Alabama. How is a freshman coming in here and starting?
Just that good.
Yeah, exactly. Or you've had attrition, and he's just that important.
Yeah, and he's pressed into that, and
right.
he can still perform and,
right.
and produce. Not a true freshman, but a redshirt freshman is Dante McClure, running back. And you're getting him some reps in what you're doing. What have you seen from him so far?
Dante McClure obviously had to step in this week and do a fantastic job for us, which he did. He plays very fast, probably plays close to as fast as Darius Roberson.
Mm-hmm.
He has really good hands, really is kind of a clone of Deontay Nicholas.
Yeah.
So all the things that Deontay has done over his career, we kind of expect the same thing from Dante.
And still getting that action to look at what it is. It takes some of it off when as opposed to being a redshirt freshman, you don't play much at all, and then you start the next season, and you're expected to get more reps, and you get more looks, and that game speed, that game action, there just is no replicating that
right,
at all.
Right, and this is really the most work he's gotten in a game. And he made some big plays for us, had a big catch in that last drive,
mm-hmm.
a big catch in a drive that led to a score in the third quarter. One of the biggest plays he made was we gave him a handoff, and he got hit immediately as soon as he got the ball, and he held on to it. It was a 5-yard loss. It was a bad play, but it was a great play by him because he didn't fumble the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes just not making a bad play is a good play. and realistically, it was a heck of a play because, again, he fumbles the ball at that point and changes the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, most of what I saw out of him was very, very positive.
And again, that's just puzzle pieces. And what we've been talking about is just holding on to the ball when someone's getting a clean hit on you, that's just a good play. And it may not come out in the stats. It may not come out in the post-game video as something that you look at and say, that's a good. But you keep it in the back of your mind as this is a guy that we can trust. This is a guy
right.
who can hold on
exactly.
to the ball
yes.
As things go along. We're going to take our last break of the show, and we're going to come back right after this on the Winners on Wednesday show from Tony V's.
Whether you keep it on a spreadsheet, a memo on your phone, or a sticky note on your desk, you've probably got a lot on your to-do list. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network are here to help. No matter what size your business, we'll help you find more ways to stretch your budget, protect your employees, and streamline your healthcare benefits. Also, you can check off more lines on your list and get on with living. To see all the ways Blue Cross can help you, visit timeformore.com.
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have 2 branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Warrior fans, join us Saturday, October 6th, as your Wayne State Warriors take on the Davenport Panthers. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. at Tom Adams Field. Make sure you get there early to get your gate giveaway.
Wayne State University Athletics. Go Warriors!
After a tough workout, plenty of athletes reach for a cold glass of chocolate milk. Why? It's got the right amount of high-quality protein and carbs proven to refuel and rebuild muscle. Chocolate milk also has electrolytes and bone-building calcium to replenish your body after any athletic activity. Get more from your training with chocolate milk, nature's sports drink. In Michigan, approximately 1,900 dairy farm families work to provide safe, high-quality milk and dairy products for us to enjoy. Approved by Michigan Dairy Market Program Committee. Milk means more.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Winners on Wednesday show. Rod Beard and Coach Paul Winters here at Tony V's. Our last segment, we usually try to break down the upcoming game, and this week that happens to be against a Tiffin team that we're very familiar with, having played them when they were a member of the GLIAC, and now they've since left for the GMAC. But they are a 4-0 team, a team that usually comes in very speedy, very talented, and that doesn't seem to change from year to year.
Yeah, they've gotten better and better. They've done a fantastic job of coaching that football team and doing a great job of recruiting quality student athletes.
A team that comes in 4-0 has a lot to be sort of confident about, and, I mean, they've beaten – Alderson, Broadus, and Walsh in their conference. Mercyhurst and Northwood are their other two wins. But they give up, I think it's 23 points a game. And you can look at that as an opportunity and say, again, what we talked about earlier with the offense starting to click a little bit better, that if that defense isn't as sound, that it's not this – it's not all 4-0 teams aren't created equal, but this is a 4-0 team that you've played before, you understand what they're trying to do, and you're at least a little bit familiar with.
Well, they're a good 4-0 team. They've had some close games, but I think they've been the dominant team in those games. And you know, that's just how it works out. They're very sound. They're very well coached, and they're physical. So it's going to be a great challenge for us. I think we look at this point as every game is a great challenge for us. Mm-hmm. We worry more about ourselves.
I was just going to say, it's what we talked earlier about. If you handle your things and you do those things well, this Wayne State team is good enough that you can beat just about anybody when you're playing well.
We can't panic about playing an undefeated team. We can't panic about, hey, you know what, their quarterback's a talented, skilled athlete, their receivers are really good, their defensive backs are talented. You can't get into all that stuff. You just have to say, hey, listen, what do we have to do to be a better football team?
Yeah.
That's what we have to concentrate on. If we concentrate on ourselves, on being better at what we do, and understanding what they do and trying to prepare for it, but just being better at who we are, that's all we have to take care of.
Looking at the tape, what do we need to do well to win this game?
we need to play good defense. I think they have skilled athletes that – need to be contained. Some of the best receivers that we'll see, and a quarterback who's only going to be a sophomore, I think, who is very skilled and very athletic, and you know, hasn't had big numbers this year, but has made important plays for him. We also have to score touchdowns on offense. Again, they're a good football team. They have really good secondary, and they're good and sound, strong up front. But we have to be the best Wayne State we can be, which means running the football, throwing it, throwing RPOs, and doing what we have to do to be successful.
And it's just that execution that kind of comes and goes. And on some of those critical plays, like you said, it ends up being a field goal when you really need a touchdown and you can put this game away. And as this team learns and grows, I think that'll be something that we see a little bit more of. Again, the game on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock at Tom Adams Field. If you're in the area, you can certainly come out and buy a ticket. It's going to be a festive atmosphere. If not, you can listen to the game here on 1400 AM, the Patriot. Sean Belegian does a very nice job with the broadcast there. So either way, or if not on CN900, we'll also be on Comcast. If you're a Comcast subscriber, that's another way that you can watch the game.
I watched that Comcast.
Did you really?
I heard that they have a pretty good announcer there.
They have a couple of.
I was impressed. I was
really,
like,
really good announcer. Yours
this
truly
guy?
Being
I've never
one.
Met him.
I have worked with Joe Abramson and Tony Ortiz, and we do a fine job there. And certainly, we have some good things to call because we got a good team to watch. Nick Watson, the quarterback for Tiffin, Tylan Rice there, one of their running backs. They have a good freshman there. Their sophomore, Kyle Brunson, is another guy. And we talked about when you have these running backs by committee and they often give you a good change of pace. What did you see out of their running game that is something that you'll have to focus on there?
You know, the young man Brunson was a guy that is a Michigan guy that we really liked. We were really very impressed with him. But they're big up front, big offensive line, and you know, they create problems because of their size. So they're a skilled football team. To say what makes them different, I think they're going to come after us. And you know, we have to be prepared for that. And our guys need to, you know, sometimes when you're going against big offensive linemen, you don't necessarily want to try to go right down the middle and say, okay, I'm going to stop you. Maybe you play the edge a little bit more and say, I'm going to out-athlete you.
Yeah, I'll get around you instead of running straight through.
Exactly.
One of the other things I liked about last week, too, was that first quarter scoring. And scoring in the first quarter, especially on the road, sends that early message. And I think that's, as we're coming back home for these next two games, I think that's something that I just want to see more of.
We've got to get the crowd behind us.
Coming right out the gate and getting points on the board, and I'll say getting a touchdown on the board is something that's always critical, and that gets your crowd in the game because they know, hey, it's Saturday evening and weather might chill a little bit, but, hey, we have something to be excited about in the very beginning of this game.
You know, Josh Vernell used to give us an opening kickoff return.
And that would be good, too. I'll take that.
And Deontay Nicholas has done that, and that's what we need. We need that kickoff return that just gets everybody pumped and everybody excited. Now, as a coach, sometimes you return to opening kickoff and you say, okay, it's downhill from here.
Can't get too much better than the opening kickoff. But I think special teams has been something that I think across football at just about every level has been something that people have worked on. And so often you see everybody trying to make a play and they end up getting a block in the back or something like that. So that's
every
just,
time.
It feels like it. It just – you can't have a good special teams play without there being that penalty. Oh, yeah. He's going 80 yards, but let's bring this one back. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll have your results from the Tiffin game when we join you next week here at Tony V's on the Winners on Wednesday show. Have a wonderful week, and come out Saturday and see us take on Tiffin.
Over the field today. Our hearts and life will win the fight of victory.
You've been listening to Winners on Wednesday here on the Patriot. Go Warriors!